JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, June 10th, it's JC. It's the podcast here at jconthelive.com. Some of the language here today could get a little rough. I want to talk about strippers. So here's the deal. The reason I'm bringing this up, I'll tell you that in a minute. Let me just tell you a little bit about strip clubs, first of all. Would you go to a restaurant and pick out something on the menu and then sit there and wait for the food to arrive? And then the food would arrive and they do the wonderful presentation in the nice restaurants where sometimes they'll pull the lid off something and almost make it like it's show business, you know? And then you sit there and it's like, oh my God, what a tremendous looking meal. You pick up your knife and fork and the waiter comes and takes the food away. This is how I feel in strip clubs, which is why I don't go. I think I've been in a strip club, I'm trying to remember if I've been one in like the last 10 years. I don't think so. I don't think so. So anyhow, it was 15 years ago today, and I was living in Brentwood Forest, and the guy who lived below me was a really cool guy, and he was getting married to a knockout, by the way. I still marvel at his ability to have worked this deal. He comes to me and he says, look, you know, I know that you work at a radio station, and you know, do you do any commercials or anything like that for any of the clubs, the gentlemen's clubs over on the east side? And I said, well, we have a relationship with them. I mean, I don't really do anything for them. But if you're asking me, yeah, let me call over there and explain what the deal is. And so I did. And they said, well, here's the deal. Yeah, bring your whole gang. It came by bus. Bring your whole gang and we will treat them great and we'll work out something for you where maybe you could do some appearances or something at the strip club. And I'm like, sure, no problem. So sure enough, the entire busload of guys, bunch of guys. And we go into the strip club. It's on a Saturday night. And the the first person I run into, it's George Norrie. George Norrie is the guy who would occasionally fill in for Art Bell in that crazy all-night AM radio talk show thing where they always talked about psychic phenomena and all that goofy stuff. And George spent a lot of time in St. Louis, was actually the news director at Channel 5 back in the day, and then was doing the, like I said, the all-night show, and he was the artist in waiting. Art Bell just finally had it one day, and in slides George Norrie. So for whatever reason, he was doing a show from St. Louis that week or that weekend or whatever the case may be, and seemed to know his way around the club pretty well, and a lot of the people at the club seemed to know him really well, which suggested to me that perhaps he was a frequent flyer, if you know what I mean. That night, by the way, I met and talked to one of the performers, shall we say, and she was probably the sexiest, most beautiful, just overwhelming black woman I have ever seen in my life. And she's standing there with no top on, just looking like $10 million in small unmarked bills. But anyhow, they put us in one of the party rooms and the girls just come in and they entertained very, very well that night. Let's put it that way. So then I get a call like a week later from the club and they're like, okay, we're going to have you do six appearances to burn this off. And strip clubs are very weird places. You know, so, did you ever read stuff about supermarkets, you know, grocery stores and how they trick you into doing things and buying more stuff and everything. There's been volumes written about this. Same thing with the auto industry. You know, when you go in to buy a car, there's all sort of little tricks and things like that. And that's true of probably every sort of business there is. And people are always shocked to find out that, as I've been told, as many as half of the women performing on stage at the gentlemen clubs, half at any time, are either lesbian or bisexual. And the thing that really surprises people is that the women performers have to pay the club. They got to pay the club for the privilege of being able to perform. And then the money they make, most of that is taken by the club, and they're actually left with very, very little. I can't say that every woman that is up there performing is in a desperate, sort of dire situation. Some seems like a lot of the women really enjoy doing it. And you can tell the pros, too. The pros are up there because they think they're really dancing. They are really dancing, but they think that we're interested in seeing them dance. We're not. We're not. We just want to see the nakedness. There wouldn't even have to be any music. There didn't even have to be a stage or lighting or anything like that. The inside of the club could look like an abandoned 7-Eleven, and we'd be happy because we're not there for the aesthetics. We're there for the boobs and the butts. Now, in those days, I would go to bed between 9:30 and 10 o'clock because I got to get up at 4:15 to do the show. And they're like, okay, be here around 10 o'clock at night, and you'll go till midnight for 6 weeks? I think I did four of them, and it was like, I'm getting home, you know, way on the east side. I lived in Chesterfield at the time. So now, I don't know about you, but after I have been stimulated, I find it very difficult to go to sleep at night. So you've just been, hell, even when I saw Frank Caliendo the other night, I think he and I parted sometime about maybe 10:30 or so, and I had about a 45-minute drive back to the house. And so now, it's like 11:15. I'm wide awake, and that was just a comedian. Now, you've been watching boobs bounce around for 2 or 3 hours, and now you're supposed to go home, go to bed, and then get up at 4:15. So somewhere on their double ledger over at the strip club on the east side, there's probably J.C. Corcoran has a balance of 2 appearances that he still needs to make. All of that, by the way, happening exactly 15 years ago today in 2006. Speaking of women, Ashley Graham, who is that plus-sized model with the absolutely beautiful face. She is one of the most beautiful faces for a model ever. The only thing different about her, she's a plus-sized model. And when we say plus, we really mean plus. She is big. Now, in recent years, we've been told that we must not only accept, but actually celebrate plus-sized women. And I think it's a great idea that the fashion industry has started using women who look like most women you see. Most women you see do not look like one of the Kardashians. And so the advertising industry, especially when it gets into like underwear and things like that, have finally figured out if you want to connect with real women, well, then have people who look like real women do the commercials. And I'm fine with the idea of saying, okay, you know, we're not going to pick on fat people anymore. She's fat. She is, however, proportionately fat because she's still very, very young. I don't even think, is Ashley Graham even 30? I'll have to check it out. But she's a young woman. And again, it's one of those things where she can almost pull it off, you know, where very tall, very big, and somehow she carries it pretty well. She looks pretty good. So here's my problem with the entire thing, because I have people in my family who are very, very overweight, and when that happens, it sort of affects your sensibility a little bit. It's like anything else. It's like all the Republican politicians who are passing all this anti-gay rights legislation, and then all of a sudden one of their sons or daughters comes out, and then they're like, we gotta work more on equality here. But here's the thing that I don't understand about the Ashley Graham thing, who was posing like Marilyn Monroe the other day, and again, looks really, really good. But here's the thing. They airbrush the crap out of her, and they take out all the cellulite. I say that from knowledge, because a couple of years ago, somebody published a couple of pictures of her doing the runway model thing, and you know, you walk to the end of the runway, and then you turn around, you walk back, and it was like an explosion of cellulite. And for the first time, I saw Ashley Graham as she really looks, not the finished product that ends up in the magazine where it's all touched up and all the cellulite's taken out, and they even trim her down a little bit. So what is it? Which way? You can't have it both ways. You can't say, all right, this woman is a plus-sized model, and you must accept her. And a matter of fact, you must celebrate the idea that she is 150 pounds overweight. But then you can't do that and then come back and say, but we're going to airbrush the cellulite out. We're going to make her look like she's thinner than she actually is. It's got to be one or the other. You can't have it both ways. Back when he was in his early 20s, Howie Mandel was living in suburban Toronto, Canada, and he was working, I think it was his brother's carpet store. And, you know, on a goof, somebody said, we're going to this comedy club. You go up there and you tell your jokes, see what happens. And the rest is history. And Howie Mandel has had a great career. He's a goofball. But he sort of found his home on this, whatever these singing shows are. I can't tell the difference anymore between American Idol and that other show where the chairs spin around. And it just seems like there's one of these talent shows on at any given time. It's like reruns of Friends. Now, I've worked with Howie a number of times. He's always been very, very nice to me. He was doing an outdoor show once at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. This was years ago. He's on stage, and you know how people get all excited in the audience when somebody announces the birth of a child? And he did. He said, yeah, we just had another baby. And the audience just wildly applauds. And Howie just sort of looks into the crowd with a quizzical look on his face and says, all I did was fuck my wife. The place went up. I'm still laughing at that line. But, you know, for years we've heard these stories about his OCD and anxiety. And this was a quote from yesterday. I still haven't been that open about how dark and ugly it really gets. He says, I try to anchor myself. I have a beautiful family and I love what I do. End quote. But he's, you know, seeming to indicate that he has still a very, very rough time managing this whole thing. You never know what people are dragging around. Or in the case of Kevin Nealon, formerly of Saturday Night Live, he was dragging around a necklace with some of Gary Shandling's ashes in it. Somebody stole it, by the way. In naughty news, former Masters winner Angel Cabrera was extradited back to his home country of Argentina to face charges of attacking three women. In Vegas, they have the new Allegiant Stadium out there. Guns N' Roses is going to be the first act to play it. Birthdays today, Sasha Obama. Those girls are tall and they are pretty. 20 years old today. Kate Upton from Sports Illustrated, 29. Elizabeth Hurley at 56, looking great. She's never had kids, and that has a lot to do with it. People are like, oh my God, how can she look that good? She's pushing 60. Well, you don't have kids. That'll wreck your body. Gina Gershon from... what was that movie called? Bound or something? Or Tied Up or something? 59? Oh, of course, Showgirls, too. She was in Showgirls. I interviewed her for that. How'd you like to be 15 years old and make your debut in the major leagues? It happened in 1944, 77 years ago today. Joe Nuxall, the old left-hander, rounding third and heading for home. He was 15 years, 10 months, and 11 days old. He walked five batters in less than an inning. But he eventually settled down and had a long Major League Baseball career. A Hard Day's Night came out on this date in 1964. I remember this date like it was yesterday because I went into the record store back when we had record stores in the mid-1970s. I went in like every day for a week because I knew that this album was coming out, but I just didn't know what day. So I went in every day, and finally one day they said, okay, yes, yes, here it is, One of These Nights. By the Eagles, Take It to the Limit, Lion Eyes, and the title track. And if you are a woman, you might want to make one of those note-to-self things. Never let your husband do a movie with Angelina Jolie. 16 years ago today, 2005, Mr. and Mrs. Smith was released. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie fell in love while filming it. He was still married to Jennifer Aniston. That's got to be some championship tang going on right there if you walk away from Jennifer Aniston. Although I have said this many times, I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's beautiful. I love her movies. Not all of her movies, but there's a couple. I really like Picture Perfect, the movie she did with Jay Moore and Olympia Dukakis. And Kevin Bacon was in there. Kevin Dunn, the speechwriter from the movie Dave. He's a Chicago boy. Loved her in Office Space. Who doesn't? Loved her in a movie called The Good Girl, which very few people saw, but it was really, really good. What was that movie called? Friends with money, other people's money or something like that. She was really good in that too. I wasn't a fan of Friends. I just didn't float my boat. She's done some incredibly sexy photo shoots. She likes to, presumably likes to, because she does it all the time, go braless, and the party hats just pop right out. So I'm really sort of all about Jennifer Aniston. I really, really like her. But here's the problem. You know, you say to yourself, as I did just a moment ago, and to all of you, you're married to Jennifer Aniston. How do you walk away from that? Well, have you seen her on talk shows? Just doesn't seem like there's a lot going on. To me, she seems a little on the dull side. She's not stupid or anything, nothing like that, but it just doesn't seem like there's a lot going on. So maybe that's the problem. Regardless, if you're a man or a woman, at some point in your life, you have probably dated somebody who you did date because there was a physical attraction, but the relationship ended up petering out because the physical part of the relationship just simply wasn't enough to sustain an actual relationship. As I've often said to friends, guys sitting around talking, you spend a lot more time in the car going to the grocery store or the mall or cleaning the house or pulling weeds out in the back. You spend a lot more time doing that than you do doing the horizontal bop. Speaking of physical activity, a good chunk of the country is experiencing a heat wave right now. Really, records just being broken all over the country. And somebody spent a little time going over to the Google Trends thing and put out a bunch of stats on summer things. We are Googling more now than usual. Here are the highlights. Number one, the top near me searches this week include swimming near me, water parks near me, pools near me, and strawberry picking near me. Number two, searches for beaches and swimming pools skyrocketed. Most of the country wants to know where the closest pool is. People near the ocean are more likely to search for a beach. Duh. The phrase signs of heat stroke jumped 200%. Headache from heat up 250%. The heat exhaustion in dogs jumped 180%. The top four kids searches include sprinklers for kids, plastic pools for kids, splash pad for kids, and best sunscreen for kids. We're also searching for safe sunscreens three times more than usual, and searches for ceiling fan direction in summer are up 300% this week. By the way, it should be going counterclockwise because that pushes the air down, not up. And a variety of weird things people do when they're on drugs is kind of amazing. Police got a call on Tuesday morning about a suspicious car parked at a vineyard in Santa Rosa, California. Odd place that there would be a potential crime going on at a vineyard. This is just north of San Francisco. It was right next to one of those big fans grape growers use to circulate the air and keep grapes from freezing. And once the cops got closer to it, they realized somebody was inside the fan. The base is hollow and just big enough to fit a person. And it turned out to be 38-year-old, well, they don't have his name here, but it's a 38-year-old guy. He'd been stuck there in the fan for 2 days. When they asked him why he climbed into the fan, he said he likes taking pictures of motors inside old farm equipment. Strange hobby. All right. The fan wasn't that old, though, and when they searched him, they found a whole bunch of meth. Sheriff's office posted about it on their Facebook page and said he had, quote, far more meth than camera equipment, end quote. They said the real reason he climbed inside remains a mystery. He's facing charges for trespassing, drug possession, and now this.
Well, the top 10 things never before said.
So there are.
We have 10 things that have never before said on The Sopranos.
All right.
Yeah, and here to present tonight's top 10 list, the cast members of the popular HBO series The Sopranos. Number 10, Dominic Chianese.
You don't have the money? That's cool.
There you go. Number 9, Aida Turturro.
Screw this home cooking. I'm going to the Olive Garden.
Yes. Number 8, Steven Van Zandt.
In addition to disposing of bodies, you'll need to know how to use PowerPoint and Excel.
Number 7, Robert Eiler.
Wasn't that the guy from Springsteen's E Street Band?
Number 6, Jamie Lynn Discala.
I just hooked up an illegal cable box, and now I'm getting free HBO.
Yeah, way to go. Number five, Tony Sirico.
Tony, I'm going to need to leave early today for Rosh Hashanah.
Number four, Drea DiMatteo.
I want a bigger part. What are you going to do, kill my character? Eh?
Number five, Michael Imperioli.
Hey, Paulie, how about you and me going up to Massachusetts and getting married?
Number two, Edie Falco.
I can't go to prison. Martha Stewart will eat me alive.
Yes, she will. And the number one thing never before said on The Sopranos, James Gandolfini.
I just whacked myself.
Hey, what?
And the reason, of course, I'm playing that here today is because it was 2007 that we saw the final episode of The Sopranos. I was watching with my girlfriend at the time, and we're watching this thing. And I had had a lot of power failures at the house, and I had the cable go out a couple of times, that kind of crap. And so we're watching this, and we know it's coming down to the final scene. You can look at the clock, and you realize everything we've been watching for the last few years is coming down to this final moment. There's like 5 minutes left in the show. How are they going to do this? What is going to happen? And then, of course, the picture goes blank. I start screaming because, well, the lights are still on, so it's got to be the cable. And I'm swearing a blue streak at the TV about the cable being out at the most inopportune time ever. And of course, it turned out the whole thing was planned out that way. And people are still arguing about it. Now, because of the song Don't Stop Believin', I was talking to Neil Sean of Journey. This was maybe 2 years ago.
Everybody wanted me to ask you about this. The final episode of The Sopranos.
You know, about 6 months prior, I remember getting an email where they were talking about the possibility of it. And then I just kind of forgot about it. I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. If it happens, great. And, you know, I wasn't watching the last episode. I was busy. You know, my phone started blowing up and everything. Did you see that? You know, and I didn't see it. And so I saw it the next night, and I thought, that is just so amazing.
From the horse's mouth right there, Neil Sean of Journey. All right, let's pick up a couple of other things here. Things are tough all over. We were talking about strippers earlier on in the show. I meant to mention this, and I forgot. A strip club in New Orleans is offering $1,000 signing bonuses because there is a national exotic dancer shortage. 79-year-old retired nun stole more than $835,000 from a Catholic school in Los Angeles County. She did it to fund her gambling addiction. It's a nun. 36-year-old guy in Virginia arrested on Saturday after he threatened to kill everyone at McDonald's because they were still serving breakfast and it was too early to get a Happy Meal. Have you ever come across an ex on a dating app? A recent survey found it's happened to 40% of online daters and 24% have seen a family member or coworker on there, so this might be a popular feature. Tinder adding a new block contacts option that lets you avoid people you know in real life. You just have to let the app access the contacts on your phone, then it'll make sure they don't show up in your feed and they won't see you either. You don't have to block all your contacts, though. You can choose which one to block. They recently tested out the feature in Asia, and the average person blocked 12 people from their contacts. Young people hate phone calls, and now a new survey found a third of older Americans agree with them now. One in three people over the age of 65 say they like texting more than they like phone calls. Staying in touch with grandkids is a big reason. Survey also looked at the top emojis for the over 65 crowd. The top two they like to use are the heart emoji and the smiley face emoji, and they also use animal rights emojis a lot. I would think they'd be most likely to use the prune emoji. Army Hammer seeking treatment for drugs, sex, and alcohol. I don't know. I remember a time when those three things were why people moved to Hollywood. Ticks have been spotted on California beaches, but the most shocking find on California beaches remains natural breasts. And you see the cicada that attacked Joe Biden yesterday? Sean Hannity is trying to get it as a guest on his show. And today's JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day is not an interview by me. It's an interview by somebody else, but this is very, very rare. I got talking with somebody the other day about sportscasters, you know, pivotal men and women in sports journalism. And really, the guy, I think, who started the whole thing was Jim McKay on the Wide World of Sports. But about that same time also was the emergence of Howard Cosell. I think we all have heard the story about Howard Cosell. One night, supposedly, he threw up during the broadcast of Monday Night Football. People said he was drunk. Howard said he wasn't drunk. Tom Snyder in the old Tomorrow Show sat down with Howard Cosell. Howard gave his version.
Let's go back to a night in Philadelphia in 1971. I've never heard this from you, and some strange things happened in the booth that night.
Sure, I was portrayed as a national drunk on air. Well, I've been all.
As I heard it, you got loaded and threw up on Frank Gifford.
No.
That's the way I heard it.
I threw up on Don Meredith.
Or on Don Meredith, right.
I would never throw up on Frank. No matter what my physical health, there's no way I'd impair the magnificence of those good looks and sartorial resplendence.
Splendor, right.
Come on, that's a joke. I was sick as a dog. I've suffered all my life almost from vertigo or labyrinthitis from time to time. I have a cold now. My ears are stuffed, loss of balance, sometimes thickness of speech. And that was the coldest night I've ever experienced in my life. I ran the track at Franklin Field to try to get warm that night with John Carlos, one of the two Black Power salute athletes, to try to get warm. I interviewed Ron Johnson before the game. Big Ron, number 30, then a great star with the Giants, though they were upset by a puerile Eagles team that night. And I really, really got hit by the bug, and it hit me, I think, as I recollect it, midway in the second quarter. I knew what the consequences would be. I fell into a taxi, take me to New York, got home to Emmy. My wife was terrified. About 3 in the morning, had calls from Klosterman, who was then at Baltimore before he joined UNLA with the Rams, Al Davis from Oakland, all my friends. But I was just sick as a dog, and I have no apologies to make for that.
What is the taxi cab fare from Philadelphia to New York?
As far as I'm concerned, it's $92, because
was that's that what it was?
Man, that's what the man asked me for, and that's what he got.
I gave him, right. Let me stop for these announcements. We'll continue with Howard Cosell after these messages.
You're so talented.
And that's it. The June 10th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Here at JC on the Line is in the can. Please continue to spread the word. Let everybody know that we're here every morning at this website. Back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.